If anyone has a voice left by the end of this, we're going to ask you to lead singing next week for the rest of us. I know you got me, Sean. Thank y'all so much for singing out. And I mean, we're a great singing congregation. That's never been, I think, an issue for Central. But it has sounded different today. I don't know if it has to you, but I've heard that. And so thank you for that. Thank you for everyone who has led. It was wonderful. Thank you for leading us in that worship. Grayson, I thought you pitched it well. I didn't notice anything. Sounded good to me. So don't second guess yourself. You did great. And everyone else did great too. So thank you all for that. A short devotional thought this afternoon as we draw to a close from our singing emphasis this weekend. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Isaiah 44. That's where we're going to be this afternoon, Isaiah 44. I guess every time we focus on something, and we've had other workshops and other things in the past, it's always something that's on our mind because we've talked about it, and usually it's something that maybe whatever we're talking about is something that gets a little better as we go, and human tendency is to kind of let that decline over time, and so that's why our elders, that's why we as people, as God's people, want to encourage us and remind us of things from time to time. That's kind of the mind behind this singing workshop and singing emphasis day. And so thank you guys for the way you sang. And my encouragement to us is that we bring that heart, that we bring that love of God in our praise every time. I know there's days that it's hard for me. And also, let me mention, you know, half of us have probably lost our voice before we got here this weekend because of everything going around. So thank y'all for pushing through all of that. Y'all are troopers for that one. But you've been a great encouragement to me. In Isaiah 44, I'm going to read a little bit of a longer passage, and we're going to focus on the very last verse here in a second. But start in verse 12 of Isaiah 44, and read along with me. The ironsmith takes a cutting tool and works it over the coals. He fashions it with hammers and works it with his strong arm. He becomes hungry, and his strength fails. He drinks no water and is faint. The carpenter stretches a line. He marks it out with a pencil. He shapes it with planes and marks it with a compass. He shapes it into the figure of a man, with the beauty of a man to dwell in a house. He cuts down cedars, or he chooses a cypress tree or an oak and lets it grow strong among the trees of the forest. He plants a cedar, and the rain nourishes it. Then it becomes fuel for a man. He takes part of it and warms himself. He kindles a fire and bakes bread. Also, he makes a god and worships it. He makes it an idol and falls down before it. Half of it he burns in the fire. Over the half he eats meat. He roasts it and is satisfied. Also, he warms himself and says, "Aha, I am warm. I have seen the fire." And the rest of it he makes into a god, his idol, and falls down to it and worships it. He prays to it and says, "Deliver me, for you are my God." They know not, nor do they discern. For he has shut their eyes so that they cannot see, and their hearts so that they cannot understand. No one considers, nor is there knowledge or discernment to say, "Half of it I burned in the fire, I also baked bread on its coals, I roasted meat and have eaten. And shall I make the rest of it an abomination? Shall I fall down before a block of wood?" He feeds on ashes, a deluded heart has led him astray, and he cannot deliver himself. Or say, "Is there not a lie in my right hand?" So Allison and I have been reading through Isaiah recently. And one night, Allison was reading Isaiah 44, the passage we just read. And she bursts out laughing. She's sitting there on the couch. I don't know what I was doing. And she just bursts out laughing. I said nothing. I was like, "What is so funny?" And I asked her, and she was like, "Isaiah is so sarcastic here." I mean, a lot of times when we read scripture, we don't necessarily insert a lot of emotion or maybe tone behind it. We just read it as straight text. But you can kind of hear Isaiah here. "Guys, the same tree that you cooked dinner on, you're worshiping as an idol. What are you doing?" Just that sarcastic, like, how could you? Are you thinking? Are you using your brain? And Isaiah points out the ridiculousness of using a tree to make fire and to cook, using the same tree to make an idol and to worshiping as a god, it makes no sense. It's inconsistent. It would be the equivalent of those of y'all who brought food to the potluck worshiping the ingredients when you got home. You know, I made tortilla, or I made quesadillas this week. You know, it'd be like me worshiping the tortillas that I used for the quesadilla. It makes no sense. And that's the inconsistency that Isaiah is pointing out in chapter 44. Now, I hope none of you are worshiping your cooking products or blocks of wood. If you are, stop it. But that's not really what I'm here to talk about this afternoon. While Isaiah is focusing on idolatry, I really want to look at verse 20. Verse 20 says, talking about this person who is inconsistent and does these things with this wood, he says, "He feeds on ashes. A deluded heart has led him astray, and he cannot deliver himself or say, 'Is there not a lie in my right hand?'" What causes someone to do something so ridiculous as to feed on ashes or to worship the same wood that keeps their house warm and that cooks their food? Isaiah calls it a deluded heart. As we close our weekend, we've been focusing on singing and worship. And I want to close this awesome and encouraging weekend with a little bit of a warning, but also an encouragement at the end. The warning is that we can have a deluded heart when we sing if we're not careful. Just as it's inconsistent to use the same tree to cook food and to make an idol for worship, it's inconsistent to use the same mouth and the same words to sing to God, but to not mean it, or to use that mouth and those words in ways that are not godly when we're not singing. You know, singing is not a ritual we do, as I've heard this as an old preacher thing, hellfire insurance, right? Worship and religion is not hellfire insurance. It certainly is a relationship with God as a way that we are rescued from the fire of hell, a way that we avoid eternal punishment. But it's also, there's another side to that coin, that it is what we do in talking and in praising and in glorifying our God. As we studied this morning, singing is a natural response from a life that's been transformed by God, by the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. It's spiritual communication with our Father. It's also spiritual empowerment between our brothers and sisters and for ourselves. And for those who are not Christians, it's a declaration of who we are and who our allegiance is to. Singing is not just making vibrations in the air with our vocal cords. It's a spiritual experience. It's not an impersonal ritual. And to treat singing like a mundane ritual is to have a deluded heart. To offer sacrifices of praise to God and to not think about it, or to live a life that's inconsistent with those praises, is like eating ashes. It makes no sense, and it's harmful to a lot of people. When we sing without thought or intent, it's harmful to God. It's harmful to other Christians, it's harmful to non-Christians, and it's harmful to ourselves. For God, it disappoints him. Have y'all ever been in a conversation with someone and you can tell that they didn't really want to talk to you, or they weren't really invested in that conversation? I know y'all have, all right? We've all been there, and unfortunately, I've probably been that person. I know I've been that person in some conversations. That may be a bit of what God feels like when we sing and we don't really mean what we sing. You know, for other Christians, this kind of ritualistic, thoughtless singing, it's discouraging because it does come out in the way that we sing. I know that you've sung with a group of Christians before, and maybe you've looked around and you can tell that there's some people that just aren't focused on what they're doing, or they're just frankly not singing. And that's discouraging to see. It can affect non-Christians, too, when we don't sing with thought and intent. Because really what that is hypocrisy. And there's no better way to discourage somebody from becoming a Christian or getting to know the Lord than hypocrisy in our lives. So that's something we have to be careful of. And then there's us. We are deluding ourselves if we think that we can sing without thought or meaning, and it makes really any difference. That's a lie. It's an inconsistency. It's like worshiping a block of wood. And so that's the warning, but there is great encouragement in Isaiah. Skip down to verse 21. 3. Sing, O heavens, for the Lord has done it. Shout, O depths of the earth. Break forth into singing, O mountains, O forest, and every tree in it. For the Lord has redeemed Jacob and will be glorified in Israel. The encouragement is to sing with conviction, to sing with honesty, to sing with faith, to glorify God with all that we have, in spite of a world around us that may be worshiping blocks of wood, in spite of our own shortcomings and our struggles and our own inconsistencies, because we do have them as hard as we try, in spite of the days that we don't want to or the days that are really hard to worship God. The encouragement is to sing with all we have, with conviction, with honesty, and with faith. I think I've witnessed that this weekend with y'all, with yesterday and today, and it is inspiring as a Christian to hear other Christians sing the way y'all have. It encourages me, and I hope for those of our visitors who may were here this morning, maybe here today, that it has shown you what it's like to be a Christian, that it is joyful, that it is wonderful, and there is no better life out there available to us. We are going to have an invitation song, and after that, we're going to have, as normal, our Lord's Supper for those who are not able to, and we'll have a closing prayer in a little bit. But then I want to just let y'all know, just because it's a little different, we're going to close another song today. So after the closing prayer, we'll end in a song. So we have two more songs left in our service. And I know we're losing our voices, and a lot of us are getting over junk and things. But I hope that everything that we've talked about and learned and sung about motivates us to sing in a maybe a different way than we have been before. And I hope the words of Isaiah encourage us to think about what we do, to have intent and meaning behind what we do. If you're not a Christian today, there's a lot that you need to learn about to become a Christian. You need to learn about who God is and what the church is and what God asks us to do to become a Christian. You have to believe that Jesus is really who he says he is. And when you do, it's going to reveal a lot about who you are and who you're not, and that you're a sinner. You need to repent of those sins. And God asks that we confess our faith, that we declare our allegiance to him, and that in doing so, we are baptized for the forgiveness of those sins so we can become a Christian. That's what you need to know. But you also need to feel some things too in your Christian life. There is joy available to you. There is peace. And words alone sometimes fail to convey that. Singing does not. And I hope that our singing has conveyed that to you. But if you're a Christian and you need encouragement, and the singing has encouraged you or pricked your heart in some way, we're here for you. So whatever you need, we invite you to come as we stand, as we sing.